5. Just a few verses this morning. Remember last week's message was just really from the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5, and Jesus telling Simon to launch out in the deep and cast his nets, and much that we could learn from that last week. Now, following that, verse 12, Luke chapter 5, verse 12, we'll read through verse 16. And it came to pass, when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man of leprosy, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and Jesus charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to heal and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Will you hold your finger in Luke chapter 5? I want you to turn back to Mark chapter 1, a parallel passage. A parallel passage. And so, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What these passages are, they're called the Gospels. And so you will see similar accounts given in the four Gospels. All the Gospels don't contain all the accounts, but I tell people it gives you additional information. So here's how it kind of works. You all have seen movies where you see one angle and you go, I know who did it. I know who killed him. And all of a sudden they'll give you this angle and you're like, oh, wow, now I know who did it. They'll give you, another angle and you'll be like, I have no clue who did it. And, so the Gospels give us different angles, additional information of the very same accounts. And so Mark chapter 1 verse 40 is the exact same account, the exact same thing, the exact same leper, but it gives us just a little bit more information, Mark chapter 1 verse 40, let's take a look at that. But there's going to be some additional things, but it's good for here the second time. And there came a leper to him, unto Jesus, beseeching him. So we got a little bit more, begging him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. That gives us a little bit more insight, what's going on in the heart of Jesus. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he, Jesus, straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Verse 45, this is one of the reasons I wanted you to turn. But he went, this is the healed leper, but he went out and began to publish it much. So what did he do? He disobeyed. He didn't do what Jesus said. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. This title of the message doesn't have great meaning, just Jesus and the leper. Jesus and the leper. Leprosy. Leprosy has historically been one of the most feared diseases known to man. Today there are pharmaceuticals that can take care of leprosy. I was just doing a little research. What's interesting is there's 15 million people that have leprosy on earth today. Doesn't need to be. But countries that don't have the blessings that we have, and we complain, but 15 million people, leprosy, it's listen what happens. Leprosy, what happens is it just takes over your body, and what happens is it just kills your body slowly. First thing that happens is your hair begins to fall out. Ron, we've checked him out before. He sat in the second row, so dangerous, right? So sitting in the second row means you guys have voluntarily subjected yourself. You're like, never again, never again. But Ron's okay, so don't worry. But it's like your hair begins to fall out. Then your fingernails and your toenails. they begin to rot and fall out. Ultimately, the gums in your mouth begin to shrink and begin to rot, and your teeth fall out. Leprosy continues, and then it goes to your joints of your fingers and your toes, and your fingers and your toes begin to rot and fall off. It then attacks your face, and you will lose your nose. You'll inside of your mouth, your palate will be gone, your eyes will rot, and leprosy ultimately was guaranteed death. Leviticus 13 and 14, we won't turn there this morning, but if you want to go and just see what God instructed, there are times that maybe remission can happen, but it was unheard of. Unheard of. You get leprosy, it's easily spread, very contagious. God would have them quarantine, but the lepers, according to Leviticus 13 and 14, they would have to dress in clothing that would represent the clothing of the mourning that you would wear for the dead. So they would be easily recognized. If you're walking up, you'd say, oh wow, that person has leprosy. And if you didn't notice them, they had to yell out, the lepers had to yell out, unclean! Unclean! That was directed by God himself. Well, you can imagine it's a horrible disease, and people just became just terrified and hateful to lepers. There's some stories that talked about rabbis that so the rabbis would be the teachers of the day, and if the teachers of the day won't love the unlovely, then the people won't either. It's just the responsibilities that anyone, each of us has, that you have influence on others. How are you influencing them? Are you influencing them? You know, do we want to be called Pretty People Baptist Church? Or do we want to be a church that reaches all people, clean and unclean, whatever it is? And here's some stories of some rabbis. There was one rabbi that bragged that he would not even buy an egg on a street where he saw a leper. Another rabbi boasted that he would throw rocks at lepers to keep them far away. And another rabbi didn't even allow a leper to wash the leper's own face. He wouldn't allow that. It was a horrible thing. It represented sure death. And there's a ton of spiritual implications and insight. One of the ones that people made that was incorrect, they knew it was sure death, and they thought, if you get leprosy, what have you done? It's the judgment of God upon you. So wrong. That's not our job. That's not our job. But that's what people viewed it as, that I'm better than you. I don't have leprosy. What have you done to deserve such a horrible disease? I'm going to review the leper, I'm going to review Jesus, and then I'm really going to get to the message. So hopefully I get through the leper and Jesus pretty quickly. We're just going to walk through the facts. So I remind myself that was for me, so that I don't all of a sudden get to, and it's like noon and I'm not even to my message yet. That's terribly happened before, and I'm like, oh. Believe it or not, initially I was planning on taking us through this morning verse 26. But in my preparation, God said, you're an idiot. No, he didn't say that. But he said, they can't stay that long. And so let's just look at this. The leper saw Jesus. Look at verse 12 back at Luke chapter 5. He saw Jesus. He saw him and said, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, it says he fell on his face. But remember back in Mark chapter 1 verse 40, it said he begged Jesus to help him. He begged Jesus to help him. He saw Jesus, and then he begged him to help. He saw Jesus, and then he knelt down. That's Mark chapter 1, verse 40. He saw Jesus, and he fell on his face. He showed some visible behavior of humility. This man was desperate. Of course he was. This man was unbelievably desperate. And he had heard something about Jesus that said, boy, if you will, I can be made clean. Now, just so you know, I want you to understand this. That is a truth that is hard. Take Ollie's mother, right? And I know we're all going to die, but there does seem to be a work that she would be doing, right? But we leave it in the Lord's hands, right? We leave it in the Lord's hands, and I would suggest we try not to figure it out, right? But here's the truth of the matter, and I wouldn't say it if he was here, right? If he will, he can heal her. I don't care what the doctors say. From a human perspective, it looks like this is the end of her life. But if he will, he can heal her. That's hard when it ain't going well. We must understand that God can heal all things. How will we respond when he doesn't? His love didn't change. That's a tough thing, is it not? It is difficulties with health, and struggles in life, disabilities, whether mental or physical. And what we have to do is trust the Lord. Try not to figure it out. Try not to just trust the Lord. Will we serve him? Because this is truth. I will not run from this. God can fix everything. There is this place of consequences, and our sin will bear the consequences. But God can fix everything. But it's not his plan to fix everything physically. Because the wages of sin is death. We're all going to die. But I will tell you, it is that's a tough thing, isn't it? Knowing he can, but many times he doesn't. Do not let that affect your trust in the Lord. Don't let the way a preacher preaches it affect your trust in the Lord. It's okay. Weep. Turn to God. Trust in him. This leper said, if you will, if you want, you can do it. You can do it, Jesus. He begged him. He was desperate. And so, you know, like I said, he believed Jesus could heal him if he wanted to. That's the situation of the leper. Now, Jesus. Jesus heard him. Jesus is walking down into this city, and he heard him. Jesus heard him. He responded to the man's cry. It tells us in Mark chapter 1 that he had compassion. A great detail of this past weekend on compassion. I'll overly simplify it. And compassion leads to action. The Bible said he had compassion on the man. I want you to understand this. This is important. Just because God doesn't do what you think or what you want him to do doesn't mean he doesn't care. But that's easier preached than lived, is it not? Just tough. But he responded to the man's cry. He healed him. But he touched him. I love this. Jesus, pay attention to what he does when he heals people. We've seen accounts where the centurion comes up and he says, you don't need to come to my house. I have people under me. When I tell them to do this and do that, they do it. If you say the word, it'll be done. Just like, wow, I haven't seen this kind of faith. So be it. And he asked what time his servant was healed, and his servant was healed the exact same time Jesus said. Jesus could have just said, just thought it. You're healed. Remember, I mean, this is just gross, right? We've talked about this in the past, right? He spits in the dirt. Makes a mud ball. Puts clay on somebody. I would have freaked out. Ain't no way, right? Ain't no way. I'll tell you this. I actually thought of it. I fell off a bridge when I was 10 years old. So now you understand. And I ended up within 2 weeks, I had 57 stitches in my head. So it didn't knock me out when I fell off the bridge. I went head first, boom, hit a rock. I mean, the blood was all over the place. It was just blood, 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 blood. So I walked up the hill, you know, I'm crying. And the blood's just flowing. They thought I lost my eye. That's how much blood there was. I remember sitting in the car. You can't believe this, right? And so my uncle's there. They're driving me to the hospital. And we were out in the country, so, you know, people didn't call ambulances back then like they did today. You know, they're like, well, he died. You know, it's just too bad. So they taken me to the hospital, right? And I noticed this. You know, it's a blood, so I couldn't see. I could see out of this eye, and I noticed my uncle. He reaches in his back pocket for his hanky. And my dad carried a hanky. Nobody carries hankies again, right? So you know this big nose here? Like father, like son. So my dad, you know, would wear a hanky, and when he put out a hanky back, and I thought, man, that is just gross. You know, so my uncle, part of the family, pulls out the hanky. I literally thought this. I almost said, no, thank you. He puts that hanky on me, and they're like, his eye's there. And I'm like, what's on the hanky? And so, you know, so I know, I'm just always like so weird about that kind of stuff. Anyway, okay, that wasn't planned, just came to me. But pay attention to what Jesus does, right? I mean, he touched him. Nobody touched a leper. It was one of the greatest demonstrations of love that Jesus could have done. It was a rule, crazy, right? It was literally, I think it was in the Talmud, that said, so when I say this, you weren't allowed within 6 feet of a leper. That's where they got it from COVID, I don't know. But you weren't allowed to come within 6 feet. If you did, you had to go through some ceremonial washing and cleansing. And it was that was in the Bible, that was just one of their rules. But he touched him. What an act of love. What an act of love. And then he healed him. Just the goodness of God. Isn't it good? He gave two commands. He said, don't tell anybody. It was early in Jesus' ministry. He was managing the crowds and managing everything. Remember this, he had a plan. So Jesus had, I'll say, three primary purposes. Okay, three primary purposes. You might disagree with me. I love doing this just because I'm a numbers guy. So you guys are always like, why do you have to say first, second, third? Just because that's the way I think. His primary objective was to obey the Father. Jesus came to earth and he said, the Father's my priority. Whatever the Father says, I say. Whatever the Father tells me to do, I do. I learn everything from the Father, and I'm here to do exactly as the Father says. The Father's my priority. Second, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came, and his eyes were set like a flint to Jerusalem. He was going to go to the cross. Because nobody in this room, there would be no hope. Zero hope. Jesus is not an option for eternal life. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Remember that funeral I told you about that was a little rough a few weeks ago? I got a letter this week. And remember I told you, I said, I'm pretty sure they weren't happy. I now have confirmation they weren't happy. So they wrote a bunch of things, and I want to learn from it, right? So I want to learn from it. But they said this one thing that caught my eye. Maybe a number of things caught my eye. They said this. They said, you weren't inclusive at all. And I said, praise the Lord. I need to be kind about it. I need to be loving about it. I need to be gentle about it. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If you think I'm preaching that you need to be rough, I know. My wife gets on me. You know when I talk about men, this is a side note. When I talk about men, say, I'm going to beat you with a 2x4. Do you get that, Ron? Do you get that? Do you understand that? Is that sinful? No, I love that. I love men. It says this. You are not going to walk away from the Lord unless it's going to be through my dead body, okay? Randall, right? And so I'm talking like men. I'm not going to beat you with a 2x4, most likely. So it's a man thing. It's a man thing. Have you all understood that? My wife was concerned that you didn't. We shouldn't beat each other up, but I'll tell you this. Jeff, you are going to love the Lord. I know you do. You know what I'm saying? But if you start thinking bad, oh yeah, I'm breaking your door down. Okay, I know. Here I go again. But it's because, you know this, Jeff, I love you, right? Jeff, I want you to do the same thing for me, okay? If I start thinking bad and just walk away, and I want a posse to come to my house. I will call the police on you as well. Yeah, you better believe. But I want you to beat my door down and help me. Would you do that? You understand that? I'm not talking about, you know, men, you know what I'm talking about. Ladies, you do whatever you want. What, maybe I'm going to bring some flowers? I don't know what it is. But It is love on people the way they need to be loved. Stephen, you understand that, right? You understand that? You are going to answer to me before you get to the judgment seat of Christ. You understand that? Because I love you, right? You understand that? You understand that as a man? I mean, I do have a 2x4 in my trunk, but I haven't ever used it yet. But I hope you grasp it. It's not. I'm not talking abusing people. I'm just talking about, man, I need a lot of help. I'm so glad you guys care enough for me to tell me, say, hey, Pastor, you know, I wouldn't have said that. But they said you weren't inclusive. And I want to be kind. I want to be gentle about it. And so then I got off on the 2x4s. You're like, let me tell you, biblical Christianity, there's only one way. She said, I had a Jewish friend there at the, it was a lady that wrote the letter. She said, I had a Jewish friend at the funeral, and she was so offended because I preached Jesus, God, with Jewish flesh, that he's the only hope for anybody that is alive. And I need to do it kindly. Jew and Gentile, the only hope is faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. But Jesus at this time said, don't tell anybody. Because he had that plan, right? He was going to do what the Father wanted. He was going to go to the cross. And then he was also going to establish his church, his first church at Jerusalem during his earthly ministry. And he had to train 12 num-nums. And when you read the apostles, you're like, man, they are not impressive. Be encouraged. Neither are we. But his three-year ministry was probably most driven by the need to help these guys somewhat get it. So that when he left 40 days after his resurrection, that they could handle it. Jesus was brilliant. It was a perfect strategy. We have the same gospel they preached 2,000 years ago. But at this point, he tells the leper, don't say anything. Second thing he says is, follow the cleansing instructions in the law of Moses. So you can go back, and chapter 13 of Leviticus is really dealing with how do you find out if it's leprosy? And then chapter 14 is how do you make sure before you send people back that it's truly healed? Here's the reality of the situation. Just knowing how rare it was. If this guy shows up to the priest and goes, hey, Jesus sent me here, and you guys need to follow the procedural law to allow me to back in society, they'd be like, hey, what chapter is that? Because they weren't doing that regularly. It's not like they're like, oh, wow, take a number. So why did Jesus have them go? Just remember this, for a testimony unto them. These would be the religious leaders. These would be the Levites. And he wanted them to get it, so that if they get it and they're leading people, they just might say, we've never seen this before. You should probably go listen to that guy that for the first time ever, we've had to follow the Levitical law and follow this procedure to allow this person to go back into society. Jesus said for a testimony unto them. I tell you this to say when Jesus gives us commands, it's for a testimony. Every single person in this room, you have a testimony. What is it? You have an influence. What is it? This leper, he went and told everybody he disobeyed. It brought more people to Jesus. Wasn't what Jesus planned and wanted at the time. And so that's the leper. That's Jesus. Now, I tell you this, did he obey? No. Now, there's five things. This is where the message begins, and I'm doing better in time than I have in the past. Just five things. There are five possible reasons. So the Bible doesn't tell me directly, why did this guy disobey? Why did this guy not listen to Jesus? And so I'm going to give you five thoughts, so there could be 500 thoughts. And so the reason I've enjoyed this message, preparing this message, is because it really deals with my heart. Because Steve, if I looked at you and I'd say, what is your struggle with Christianity? I think you would say, exactly, obedience, right? But ultimately, I know it comes down to, why don't you obey? It's a lack of love for Christ. We'll get there. But if we just set it on an executional basis, right? I want to do what's right, right? I want to do what's right, but there's always that challenge. First thing I want you to see is he didn't know who Jesus really was. What I mean by that, I love the songs that we sang. They're so good about the holiness of God. I'm going to suggest he really didn't understand that it was God. It was God who touched him. It was God who healed him. And Jesus wasn't just any old man. It was God in flesh. You see, if he understood that God told him to do something, and Jesus would have had all of his glory and all of his wonder, that man would likely have obeyed. The Bible says if the leaders of the day would have known that it was truly God, they would not have crucified him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Jesus emptied himself of his glory because he was going to the cross. I want you to understand this. I'm going to say this, but it's not the finality of it. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There should be a place in our hearts. How many of you have seen The Wizard of Oz? Okay, there's a new Wizard of Oz. I'm talking the old one. The old one, right? So the old one where, you know, they get to Oz and he's this scary guy. He's really this little bitty guy that's just projecting himself. I'm Oz, the great and terrible Oz, right? And so you should understand it should be terrifying to you to stand before God. I'm talking in the way that they were afraid of Oz. That's not where it ends. I want you to understand this. But I think there's a place that says, do we have a trembling fear to understand who God is and his holiness and his magnificence and his glory, that the Bible says that no man could stand before me, no man can see me and live? Do we understand that? If we understood that, I tell you this, if I understood his presence, and I understood that God is here, and I understood that God is watching every single thing I do, it would make me nervous. Would it make you nervous? It would make me nervous. But it is reality. But I don't think this leper really understood, this is God telling you, don't go tell anybody, and go to the priest and follow the law of Moses. If he had, I think he would have been too afraid not to obey. Not the final motive that we need. But I will tell you this. It would be a good motive to start there. That's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And again, I think fear is not always that shaking, quaking. But I think there needs to be a shaking and quaking that one day every single person in this room, you will stand before that God. He is a great God. He is a loving God. But he is a just God that must be consistent with who he is. If you don't listen to God here, then you will answer to him one day in eternity. If this man would have understood who Jesus really was, he would have obeyed. Out of just sheer fear, that doesn't mean he was right with God. But I will tell you this. You know what I want to tell you just flat out? Just do what God says. And then ask him to get a hold of your heart. There should be some fear. There should be some understanding. Because here is the thing. We show more reverence for our earthly fathers. We show more reverence for our bosses. You're more afraid that you'll get fired from your job than you are honoring the king. You should be a great employee. You should be on time. You should be the hardest worker ever if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But you should not, and I should not, show more respect and more honor to a boss than we do the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what the problem is? We have forgotten who he is. This leper, he knew Jesus could heal him. But I don't think he really understood that he was God. If he did, I think he would have obeyed. Second thing I want you to see, he didn't really know what Jesus could really do. This leper was just, I mean, who knows? Maybe he had to say, they'd say, well, where's Jesus? Over there. Maybe the leprosy got to him because if Jesus healed him, what do you think? That would add some of his fingers that fell off? Maybe his nose had fallen off? I don't know what the state of this leper was, but he was clearly a leper. His hair, his fingernails, his toenails. What stage was he? He probably looked a mess. But I'll tell you, how did he know he was healed? Because leprosy would start with spots. It would turn white, sometimes yellowish. And whatever limbs were left, I believe that when Jesus would heal him, it was like a baby's bottom, smooth as silk. Jesus just isn't in the business to just kind of say, well, you know, I healed you, but you know that eczema, you still got it. I think when Jesus heals, it'd be like, oh, you know, he was probably probably went into modeling for a skincare products. I mean, because nobody's skin was like his. That's just what Jesus does, right? I don't tell you that it added his appendages back if he had lost some. The Bible doesn't give us all those details. But so he was just so pumped because I'm healed. Does it get any better than that? Oh, yes, it does, if you only understood. You ask me, I think this is a lost man. I don't see Jesus return to him like he did so many others. Jesus normally would double back. He may have. The Bible just didn't record it. The Bible doesn't have to. But I think this is a lost man because of his disobedience so quickly when Jesus blessed him. Because let me tell you this. When you're first saved, you probably don't struggle obeying Jesus as much as you will after you get too familiar with him. That's why I like these young guys over here. They do everything I say, as long as I can show it in the Bible. You know why? Because you love Jesus. Not too difficult, is it? A little nervous, some sweat beads come down every once in a while. Let me tell you this, I want you to stay fresh like that all your life. Jeff, you stay fresh like that. You understand this? 1 year. You know what you are, Jeff? You're about to enter into the terrible twos. Jeff, stay fresh with the Lord. You understand that? You don't want to become crusty like me, okay? You know why I love being around young believers? Because I want to think like you think. Whatever Jesus says, I'll do it. You know where I'm like? I'm not sure if he really said that, you know? I think in the Greek. Shut up. Because I don't like to do what I don't want to do. See, if this man just knew Jesus can give you eternal life, he would have rushed to the priests. It had been a 7-day process that had to be validated by another 7-day process, so he was going to be quarantined for quite some time. But he would have done it as quickly as possible, because where would this man want it to be if he really knew who Jesus was and what Jesus could do? Where would he have wanted to be, Ron? Back with Jesus, no doubt about it. Man, you ought to be sitting in the front row. You know, I thought it was the fourth row where you belong, but man, look at that, you got that one right. You know, I'm just kidding. He would want to be back with Jesus. You understand this? If we're thinking right, where do we want to be? With Jesus. It's so interesting to me that we seem to have so many other things that are so much better to do than being with God's people and being with Jesus. So just to test you, we're going to have services every night for the next 23 years straight. That would be ridiculous, because that's not what God wants. See, that would just become ridiculous. I'm not saying you have to have services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You don't. I'm just telling you this. What better thing, place to be other than the feet of Jesus? Well, if the Bengals were really good, I can tell you. No. See, he really didn't understand that Jesus could forgive sins. Third thing I want you to see, he was ungrateful. Ungrateful. Somebody does something anywhere close to this for you, you should do whatever you can to show honor and thankfulness and gratitude to them. Did Jesus ask for anything ridiculous from this guy? He didn't ask for anything ridiculous. He said, just don't tell anybody. Now, that's hard. Let me be clear. That's hard. He said, don't tell anybody. And he said, just go follow the biblical law. Now, I'm sure this guy wasn't familiar with it either, because they may not have ever used it. But he was so ungrateful. I'm not going to listen to Jesus. Fourth thing I want you to see, he was selfish. And maybe you can say ingratitude and selfishness are one, but it's this. No, Jesus, thank you for the suggestion. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay? We never say it that way. But we can spend time in God's Word, and I'll give you it was a great moment. I'm going to give you a great moment with my daughter's boyfriend. So you guys get regular updates on that. I asked him this past Thursday. His name is Peru. I said, if I was saying it probably, it'd be Peru. But I'm so terrible, you know. That's probably not even good anyway. So I think, well, just let me butcher it just like a hillbilly. So I say, Peru. And I asked him, what are you thinking about all this? We've met 10, 12, 14 weeks. I don't know how long we've met. I said, Peru, what do you think about all this? And he said this. Don't get too excited at the beginning. He goes, I could believe in Jesus and trust him as my Savior. He goes, but there's no way I will ever agree that he's the only way. And then he said this, and I know that if the Bible's right, that will damn my soul. I was like, okay. And I reminded him about this. He knew truth. Did he not understand? He said, I'd be okay. Because he said, if Jesus is the only way, you're telling me all Hindus are going to hell? All Muslims are going to hell? And you know the way I talk. He goes, you talk like there's hardly anybody going to heaven. And I said, well, that's what the Bible says. Right? He's close, isn't he? But a million miles away. I told him this. I said, Peru, when we first started, I said, you're going to find the Bible's not that difficult to understand. It's more difficult to believe than it is understand. Oh, there are some difficult passages, to be clear. But that's not the norm in the Bible, particularly the New Testament. Oh, there are difficult passages, but I said, I told you the Bible's going to be more difficult to believe than it is to understand. I said, you know what the Bible says. Just reject it. You see, let me talk to believers in this room. And this will just would make a believer go insane, I know. I haven't taught one believer anything new this morning. I didn't come to teach you anything new. But you know why we don't obey? We don't believe. There's going to be one more thought, why don't we believe? But I want you to understand this. I didn't say you're lost. We either don't believe it matters, we don't believe, or we're just stinking selfish and go, you know what? You know, I don't have to be like you, Steve, and praise the Lord for that, right? But you want to be like Jesus. You know what the issue in Christianity is today? A big issue? Selfishness. Worried more what people will think about you. More worried about money. More worried about silly projects. More worried about whatever it is. And in second place, oh, that would be good if it was second, Jesus comes. But Jesus got things to do, place to go, people to see. I'll catch you later. Final thing he didn't understand, and I'm done. He didn't know the love of Jesus. That's the umbrella of everything he didn't understand. You see, if you and I understand how much Jesus loves us, this is the reality. Men don't like to admit this as much. But we need to be loved. I agree. I think men would prefer to be respected above loved, but we need to be loved. I'm gonna, you know how many bad stories I tell about my wife, but she made me feel special the other day. I told you guys this. Went golfing the other day and just reminded me that I'm just as bad as I was last year. Why don't I just quit? And so we were going to the men's retreat, and so I'm coming home from golf, and I called Deb for something, and she goes, "How close are you to home?" And I said, "Oh, about 15 minutes. I just wish I thought like her, right?" And she goes, "Oh, well, I'll wait so I can see you." And I'm like, man, why? I wish I would have thought of that. I'd be like, "Honey, can you stay home? I'd just like to see you. At least I would die for you, honey." Nassim would not die for Maram. We learned about that in Sunday school. So there is a difference. Steve, Nassim. But I told her this. I was convicted. I was touched. She wanted to see me before I went to the men's retreat because she goes, "I won't see you tonight." And I thought there might be like streamers, confetti that I wasn't going to be home that night. But she made me feel special. And I haven't forgotten it. And it's, isn't it good to be loved? If you have people in your life that love you, man, it's good, isn't it? But I'll tell you this, the best love in the world is Jesus. We know that, but do you know that? You see, if you understand how much Jesus loves you, you'll do what he says. You've heard me say this, and I know it's strong. I say, when I sin, it's an act of hatred to God. When I obey with the right spirit, it's an act of love to him. But you see, that's not difficult to do when I understand how much he loves me. I don't mean to make God a human too much. When I say God delights in hearing from me. God doesn't want to go a day without seeing me. I make him wait a lot, do you? You see, these five, and I'm done. These five represent my life way too much. You know why I don't do what Jesus tells me to do? I forget that he is God and that he is the reigning, sovereign, just God of the universe. I forget what God has done for me. I'm super pumped for the Easter message, April 20th. I want you to get all your lost friends here. I don't always have messages that just percolate on my heart. This one is for a while. And Ron is not preaching it this year. I promise I'll preach from a hospital bed if I have to this year. I'm not kidding. They're going to wheel me in. I pray I'm not in hospital. You pray about that. I'm like, I'm going to be a little nervous a couple days before. But I think I forget what Jesus has done for me. Sean, I just want to keep telling you this. Sean, you've made a difference in my life. When you told me when you struggle that you go back to the cross in the scriptures. Sean, that's one of the top 10 things God's impacted me with in the last 5 years, what you've said. It's so simple. But Sean, it's profound and you've made a difference in my life. Sean, I need to go back and remember. Remember what Christ has done for me. And I need to read it personally, emotionally, and just be in awe that this God that I can't stand before because of my wickedness loved me so much. I want to thank you for that. I want you to understand this. As we battle and this flesh wins too often, right? God's using you, okay? Don't you forget that. I'm ungrateful. You've heard me preach many messages. Unthankfulness is the root of so much sin. I'm selfish. I am selfish. I do what Steve wants. I'm not here to portray me as a good guy. I'm not a good guy. I'll tell you what, I serve a great God. I think I'm the poster child of the patience of God in His great love. You ought to be encouraged. If God would love me, and you know that He loves me, wow, you should be encouraged how much He loves you. The reason I sin, and I'm going to suggest the reason you sin, you've forgotten the love of God. I ask you this morning, are you saved? Are you truly born again? Have you truly said in your heart, have you truly believed? Have you truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, a result of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is obedience. But obedience is tougher when you forget the love of God. If I ask you before I preach today, how many want to be like a leper? Nobody would have raised their hands. I still think nobody'd raise their hands. I don't want to respond like the leper responded. I want to know what Jesus wants, and I want to do it for His honor and His glory. And I want to do it as just a sacrifice of love, that I could give Him a gift of love. I haven't come up with an option. I love what my wife did the other day. And you know what's so funny? She wasn't trying to do that. You know how much effort and planning it would be for me to be like, I'm going to slip this one on her right now. Honey, how close are you to home? I mean, you know, it's like, I would have to plan this. I would have to read it in a book. I want it to come from my heart, right? I've thought about that, just preparing this message. I don't have an answer yet. You know what I want to do? I want to do that to God. That just says, I've got a few minutes, Lord. I'd like to be with You. And too many times, I got a few minutes, and He's the last one I want to be with. I want to learn from the leper. Jesus is worth it. Let's pray.